tonight. Celebrate the Lord as I make welcome Apostle Mike Oroko.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you expectant tonight? Are you sure you came to receive something? You are sure it's not gathering as usual? It's an honor to be here this evening to share fellowship with you in UNN. I trust that the procession that the Lord is going to begin tonight would be a river that many of you that have been expectant of a revival will be carried along. As I stepped into the borders of your campus, I began to interact with prophetic energy. And the spirit of prophecy was hovering around the campus. And I realized that God is out on a recruitment campaign. There are many of you that have already been earmarked as hunters that the Lord will use in the last day army. This is a Kairos moment. It's a strategic season in the spirit. And for those of you who are discerning, you will realize that new sets of instructions are already coming in your direction. It's because of what God is out to do. It's not a season to play around. It's a season to take responsibility for destiny. And so this evening, I've only come as a herald to stir up the waters so that that operation of the spirit that is already ongoing in your heart will receive momentum and power to bring you to that point where the embers and the whispers from Zion will become discernible in your soul structure. Lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord now. The hour has come. The time has come. The Bible said Elijah waited. When the prophets of Baal were carrying on their stones, he waited until the time of the evening oblation. When there was no more voice, he said he called them and said, "Come close to me." And as they drew close to him, he said he picked up 12 stones. Consistent with the 12 tribes of Israel, and he began to build the altar. The number 12 is the number of government, because God was about to bring upon the landscape a new order of spiritual operation. The hour has come. Whisper to the Lord now and give expression to your expectation. If you have an expectation tonight, give it expression. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We ask, oh God, that there be a fresh visitation upon your people. That which you promised the fathers. That which the fathers prophesied. The covenants they entered into. The sacrifices of alignment that were put on ground to orchestrate a move of your spirit. The stirrings that have gone forth in the atmosphere, the alterations in the spiritual climate, so that sons of order can walk into the womb of the spirit. Father, tonight we align our spirit. If you are sick in your body, just put your hands there. If you are sick in your body, just put your hands there. I want to take distraction away from the room, so that we can go and do deeper things, business with the soul. Is there anybody sick here? Just wave at me. Let me be sure we have sick people, so it doesn't become a distraction. You are sick, something, you have pain, something connected to your body system and it's not functioning properly. Just place your hands. It is an organ infection, a blood infection. Just put your hand on your chest, no problem. Let's deal with sickness and forget about it, so that we can do business that borders on our soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just play that song. Let the healing angels minister to you in the next 2 minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you get soft into that song, the healing power of God will touch you. As you get soft, as you get soft. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are all healed in the name of Jesus. Just check your bodies. Check. Don't go religious with me now. Check your bodies. You had pain and the pain is gone. Just wave at me quickly. Let me see you. Those of you who had infections, you had pain, you have sickness or something, if it's something you can verify, just check. Check your bodies. In the next 1 minute. Check very quickly. You have noticed a change, wave your hand at me. You have noticed a change already. Any other person, you've noticed a change, wave your hand at me quickly. You've noticed a change. The healing power of God is already ministering to people. We need to put that aside so that it's not a distraction. While the message go on, you will discover, most of you, the process is already on. By the time we end the service, you discover you are permanently healed. Because I may not have time to deal with some sickness tonight. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to do a teaching tonight. By tomorrow, I'll have the liberty to do impartation. But for tonight, I'm burdened to do a teaching. I'm going to be doing divination of terms this evening. Tomorrow, I'm going to be doing another brief teaching on the precursors of alignment. Then we'll do the impartation. For tonight, I'm going to do a divination of terms on what spiritual alignment is about. It's possible for us to be carried in the ways of the move of God, but we are not established in truth. It's possible for us to be carried away by the euphoria and the atmosphere of our gathering, and then we lose touch with the true essence and meaning of the gathering. It's possible for us to be sucked into the activities that characterize the move of God, but the life of the move itself is not planted in our spirits. And so tonight, I want to do a teaching to bring us into understanding of what the essence of alignment really is about. Because many people are using very big words, because It seems as though the move of God that is coming to us at this time is to be activated by utterance. And on the strength of what God is doing, many people have reduced the spiritual essence of what's happening to talk, to lingo, and to big, verbose words. But what God is doing is bigger than language. It's a move of His Spirit. And if you don't even understand why God is activating what He's doing by the way of utterance, you would not even know what and why utterance is a necessity. Utterance is not English language. It's not oratory. It's not dexterity in speech. It is the Spirit-energized communication that connects the heart of the Father to the heart of His people, so that the burden in the heart of the Father can be transferred to the listeners. So when utterance is in full scale, what happens is that the people are quickened. A fresh hunger is activated in their heart to begin a journey, the pursuit of God, in order to realize the full scope of their motivation. Then their life will have meaning. But if we reduce what is happening to talk and mastery of the nature of teachings that is flying around, we will become vague the more we think we are going in the womb. That's why Paul came and he diagnosed the condition of the churches in Corinth, and he said they were vague and they were carnal people. Why was that so? They listened to Paul, they listened to Apollos, so they could talk like Paul. They could talk like Apollos. They knew the set of teachings, but they had no contact with essence. And when you find such deficiencies in the body, it simply means that alignment is not an integral part of that which the Lord is doing. Because alignment is that which brings us into the experience of the mind of the Father. If you have not come into the experience of what God is doing, you may be juggling around in cliches and exciting your emotions. But in the day where champions are numbered, you would realize that you are not counted. In the day of trouble and affliction, you will realize that your strength is small, because you never traveled into the womb of the Spirit. And that is why I want to show us this evening, very quickly, what alignment, spiritual alignment, is about. Hallelujah. There is a place of understanding of what God is doing, and there is a place of transformation to become that which God is doing. There are two different things. You may come to a point where intellectually, cognitively, you have an understanding of what it's about, what the move of God is about, what God wants to do is about. And then there is another place where you have become the move of God. The goal of God is to make you the move that is coming on the earth, so that your life becomes the extension of His reality. It begins with understanding what God wants to do, but it doesn't end there. It becomes relevant when the people that have caught the light of what God wants to do become that which God wants to do. At that point, then the work of alignment is complete in their lives. Jesus made a statement, a very profound statement, in John chapter 9, verse 5. He said, so long as I am in the world, He said, I am the light of the world. It's possible for you to look at that scripture and then you also go in faith and begin to declare that you are the light of the world. And there is nothing wrong with it, because one of the laws of faith is the law of speaking. The speaking law of faith is a very integral part of the realization of possibilities that are locked up in faith. But you need to understand that before Jesus made the statement that He was the light of the world, He went through a definite protocol to become a light. The Bible said He was led into the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 to be tempted of the devil. It was when Jesus passed the test of alignment that He returned as the light of the world. So Jesus was not just making a quote because it was intelligent to make a quote. Jesus was making a declaration from the essence of His reality. He was the Word of God. He was the creator of all things. He was co-equal with the Father, but He never called Himself the light until He satisfied the demands of alignment. When He came out of the wilderness, the Bible said He returned in the power of the Spirit. At that time, Jesus had the right to call Himself as the light. So every spiritual reality will be alien to you until you satisfy the requisite alignment requirement in order to manifest the dimension of that reality. There are many Christians making declarations today of what they are not. They are thinking, saying it, they will become. Saying it does not make you until you behold him as he is. And for you to come to the center and the womb of the Spirit where you can look at him as he is, you must come under the government of the Holy Spirit. That's where many believers have lost out. They don't submit to the demand of alignment, but they declare the possibilities of faith. That's why we discover when we have crisis that we are deceived. We realize all of a sudden when there is calamity in our lives that we are deceived. You hear people saying they can do all things until crisis comes. That's when they realize that they were quoting scriptures that are not realities in their spirit. You hear people say they are full of the anointing and the power of God until their neighbor, their nephew, their brothers, their sister, or their mothers is sick. That's when you see believers running around looking for healing lines to join, because they realize that the declaration they were making all the while was a lie. Am I talking down on faith proclamation? No. But I'm telling you that apart from faith proclamation, there is a requisite alignment that every believer must join himself into in order to enter into the realities of the things that are spoken. Jesus, the Bible said, is the author and the finisher of our faith. So everything Jesus did was a gangway that he revealed to humankind, that in order to become that which he is, then he must go in this path. Paul was the one that declared that we are the righteousness of God. But when Paul spoke to his disciple in 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 17, he told him, exercise yourself unto righteousness. Exercise yourself. It's no doubt that you are the righteousness of God. But in order for the economy of righteousness to become a reality in your soul and in your body, there is something you need to do. The word exercise there is the word alignment. Christianity is not talking. If it is reduced to talking, then we become puppets in the hands of principalities. If it's reduced to talking, then we can be manipulated. A spirit that does not have law over you, you can never see his reality. You may talk about him, but you will not walk in his reality. That is the plague of many believers. Alignment is the heaviest molecule in the doctrine of righteousness. When we talk alignment, we are talking about the economy of holiness. We are talking about the full manifestation of the essence of God. And we need to understand that holiness is the business of the throne room. Everything you have been declaring, is it an experience? If it's not an experience, then alignment is lacking. The issue is not because the promise is not meant for you. The issue is, have you committed yourself to the requirement to walk in his reality? Jesus, the Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word. It said the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He said in him was life. The life was the light of men. When did Jesus become the light? After he fulfilled the demands of alignment. The promises will be there, but the experience is predicated upon alignment. Never come to a point where you psych yourself as a believer. You will set yourself up for destruction in the day of battle. What is alignment? The first thing you need to know is that alignment is the journey out of the womb of mortality to walk in immortality. Alignment is the ability of a mortal vessel to come to a point where he can host immortal realities and give expression to them. Alignment is not talk. Alignment is manifestation of reality. You are not aligned until spiritual possibilities begin to find expression in you. You can be a leader. You can be an apostle. It doesn't count. You can be a prophet. It counts for nothing. You may know the laws and the doctrine of righteousness, but you are not aligned to the reality of righteousness until your life becomes an emergence of the realities of righteousness. Alignment is the point where a mortal vessel begins to live like an immortal. Alignment is when corruption begins to host the possibilities of perfection and give expression to them. Alignment is when a man becomes a god. When people look at you and all they can see is Jesus, then you have entered into the womb of alignment. It's not a talk, it's a life. How do you come to that point where you can host and give expression to reality? These realities are there. They were promised you. For 1 minute. Don't be lost. Stay with me. Listen, let me give you a scripture to substantiate the points I'm making. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, look at what the Bible said. It said, "Have you not heard? Has it not been said unto you that the everlasting God fainteth not, neither is he weary?" What is the Bible saying? It means the ability to continually dispense energy and not to faint is only possible in the divine. The ability to walk and not faint is only obtainable in the divine. Only God sustains the capacity to walk and not to faint. But in verse 31 of that scripture, it says, "You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and you shall not faint." What is it telling you? It means there is a possibility for humankind to come to a point where he can do the things that the divine itself can do. That is alignment. If you come to that point where your life becomes, they shall run and they shall not be weary. What has happened to that people? Tell your neighbor, say it's alignment. If you find yourself walking, you may know, because he said, "Have you not heard?" That means it's possible to hear. Has it not been said to you? It's possible to know about it. But have you come to the point experientially? You are walking, you are not weary, you are running, you are not fainting. That's when alignment is achieved. There are many young people talking big things. Especially this media age now, where everybody has a platform to talk. But when you come down and you step down into our lives, you'll see how pathetic many people are. Because they talk what they don't experience. He said there is something you must pay attention to. He said you must wait on the Lord. That's the sacrifice. The difference between mortality and immortality is the place in the spirit. There's a place in the spirit where a mortal vessel travels to, and because he stays there, when he comes out, his mortality is swallowed. Did you read about Moses? He said he stayed in Horeb, in the mountain of God, for 40 days. And he said when he returned, he wished not that his face shone like the sun. So it's not something that you carry in your head. It's a reality that even if you are not aware of, so long as you have traveled to that place, everybody that looks at you is God the touch. Because you have entered a place where you journey past the gate of mortality and you are interacting with immortal entities. Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you? In your own case, you may have heard. In your case, it may have been told to you. But are you running and fainting? Are you walking and you are weary? It means you have not known alignment. The difference between mortality and immortality is a place. It's a day that wait. There are people that journey out of all of the proclivities of flesh, and they come to that place where the Holy Ghost wants them to stay. That's why for Jesus, the Bible said that spirit drove him into the wilderness. There was a place Jesus needed to stay. And he stayed there until he apprehended the power of the spirit. So when he came back, he didn't talk grammar. He went straight into the synagogue and he said, he began to talk like an immortal. Before that time, he was known as a carpenter. All he knew to do was the skill of carpentry. You may be here talking physics, medicine, microbiology. That's because your reality is still factored into secular intelligence. You have not stayed in the spirit enough. When Jesus returned, the Bible said he went into the synagogue as his custom was. And he carried the book to read. And suddenly Jesus was reading scriptures. He was not reading it as if he was reading to people. He was reading it as a manifesto. What has happened? A mortal man has become an immortal. A mortal man has entered a place, and everything that constitutes his purity has been swallowed up. So the man shows up. He said, I come to preach the gospel. And how will he preach the gospel? He said, to give sight to the blind. Who gives sight to the blind? Are you all right? Do men give sight to the blind? He came to unstop deaf ears, to heal the brokenhearted. What has happened? He went to a place. He went to a location that the Holy Ghost carried him to. You know, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive it now. There are things that if you hear, your mortality cannot allow you to bear it. He says, so how be it? In John chapter 16, verse 13, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you to a place. He said, it's the place of all realities. Have you found that place? It is the journey of a diamond. If all we have is talk, we are jokers. Because the princes, when they come, they don't care what you know. They are only interested in what you can manifest. He came to Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God. Their question is, if. What can you manifest? If you say you are a believer, can you live without sin? If you say you are a believer, can you live without fear? If you say you are a believer, can you walk like the God that you profess? That's the question that the devil brings our way. And he doesn't bring it in articulate speech. He brings it to you as malaria. He brings it to you as fornication. He brings it to you as lying. He brings it to you as fear. The devil is checking whether you are still mortal or you are immortal. And the answer you give him is a statement of the location where you are standing in the spirit. Jesus said, the prince of this world, he cometh to me, he findeth nothing. The devil will come and check. He will not check what you are saying. He will check through your life. You say you are a believer. Here is everybody fornicating. What are you doing about it? Here is everybody sick. What is your experience? The reason we live like mortal men is because we have not committed ourselves to pay the sacrifice of alignment. Alignment is a journey from mortality to immortality. He said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not? Neither is he weary. Those are realities that are only manifest in God. Only God sustains the capacity of not being depleted. That's why his name is called the El Shaddai. The word El Shaddai means the multi-breasted one. He's the one that suffices everyone, and his self is not depleted in essence. Have you heard about the El Shaddai? And then the El Shaddai himself made a statement. He said, they that wait upon me, a point come when they become like unto the El Shaddai. He said, they shall run, they shall not be weary. They shall walk, they shall not faint. What has happened? Mortality has been swallowed up. It's called the requisite sacrifice of alignment. You know, we think Christianity is about talking. So we gather ourselves and we impress ourselves. Meanwhile, the man, the world doesn't care what you do. He doesn't even notice you are talking. So you talk among Christians and you say things and they are clapping. And you say, ooh. Jesus didn't have time to talk among believers. He went to the market. He went to where the normal men are. And he spoke, and it was backed with power. Because when he came to speak, he spoke as a God. You are speaking as a man, but you want to act like a God. You are deceiving yourself. The only way to come to that point is to wait. That's when you can see him as he is. Because he said, if we see him as he is, what happened? We become like him. So the goal is transformation. Become like unto him. That's when you are a Christian. Christianity is not a title. It's a manifestation of a life. Who are you? We despise alignment and we come to deceive ourselves in fellowships. No wonder we can't take our word. Tonight I want to keep it calm to challenge your conviction so that there will be a shift in your paradigm. We have made so much pride and brag so much in titles. Our titles take us nowhere. Jesus didn't bother about titles. It was later they wrote about him saying he's the great shepherd. He said, I am the Son of God. He was a man. Every time a title is added to him, his value is reduced. You will never hear Prophet Jesus or Apostle Jesus. Meanwhile, the apostolic, the prophetic is an effulgence of his reality. He said, who shall declare his generation? So the reason we are apostles is because we are an extension of him. So in his own conviction, an apostle is a manifestation of a dimension, not a title. An apostle apostle is a witness and a proof that a kingdom that is an invisible realm exists in the natural. So when an apostle show up, the burdens of the kingdom should manifest. So what makes you an apostle is not the title, it's your ability to bring the kingdom to bear. When you speak, what happens to people? A man is in the kingdom of darkness, but an apostle talks to him and he steps out of that kingdom and he enters another kingdom. That is an apostle. He has the ability to pull you out of another kingdom to what he represents. So long as you interact with him, you must bow to the government that he serves. That is the definition of the apostolic. But it's for men who have seen life. It's a journey from mortality into immortality. The reason we do what we do is not to gain mastery per se, it's to become. Never master the art of prayer. Never master the art of reading. Become. So that you will be an expression of prayer. And that's when you pray, your prayers will be answered. Somebody say a prayer warrior is not a man that prays so much. It's a man that has answers to prayers. Don't you see that we brag in mundane things? When people gather, they hail somebody because he prayed longer than every other person. Meanwhile, 10 people came with cancer. No one was healed. And the prayer man is walking. He say, win a prayer. And your prayer cannot transform anything. What is the goal of prayer? Prayer is a bridge between immortality and mortality. Prayer is a chamber, a gate, a bridge through which you can download possibilities that are in heaven. Somebody comes to say he knows all the doctrine of the Bible. Meanwhile, he's a puppet. He knows the doctrine of healing. He's sick. He knows the doctrine of righteousness. He's a sinner. Are you not a fool? Loftiness of the mind. Little or no transformation in the soul. Alignment is a journey from mortality to immortality. What is alignment? Alignment is fraternity with entities in Zion. A man of alignment is a man of encounters. Did you read about Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 verse 2? He said after 6 days he took Peter, James and John and he went to the mountain. There he prayed. What happened? First, there was transformation. He said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistered and then something happened. He said there stood between Moses and Elias. What were they discussing about the things that will happen in Jerusalem? Because this man has come to a point where he has submitted completely to the will of the Father. So entities in Zion who carried the message for what God wants to do, they came to submit it to him. Elijah came to submit the prophets. Moses came to submit the law because this man has decided to pay the price for emergence of the kingdom. Because he submitted in alignment, the prophet and the law needed to come and submit their witnesses. Alignment is a place of spiritual fraternity. If you have not come to a place where you mingle with entities from Zion, it means your will is still strong. The day your will crushes for the will of the Father to find expression, you will walk into your room and you see an angel standing. The angels don't appear because they want to impress you. They come with witnesses. They are high commissioners of heaven. Angels don't come to gist with men. They come to carry out kingdom business. And it's only with men who are willing to drop their will for the will of the Father to find expression. Alignment is a place where we fraternize inside. That's when you interact with the spirit of just men made perfect. In 2013, I was serving. I served from 2012 to 2013. And I moved to Warri. And I decided to take a 1-year fast and pray with prayer. Those days were days when I go out 2 times in a week. Just to attend service on Sunday and to go for CDS Wednesday. And I was in the room there. I said, Lord, whatever you have me do, I will do it. If you tell me to die now, I will die. Ah, when you talk like that, you have triggered the jealousy of God in your direction. When you talk like that, you have begun to invoke the powers of Zion. And the first thing the Lord did was that a hand came into my room. That was when I began to have the craziest encounters. These are things I cannot substantiate by doctrine. And he carried me and I found myself in the room of Reverend Chris Oyakhilome. And I discovered Reverend Chris Oyakhilome was 17 years old. How is that possible? I had a time travel. I went back to time. I was carried to a time that I was not yet born. Because I said, now whatever you have me do, I will do it. I was not praying for encounter. When you yield yourself to the will of the Father, you have actually triggered the protocol of encounter. And then he told me, look at how he lived his life. He said, this is how a man of God should live, so that he can manifest the dimensions of God. And I saw the way the man lived his life. That was when I knew that if I'm at home, my door should be locked. I'm in business, because I saw that Reverend Chris never opened his door. He was always in door. What was he doing? Crying for nations. I said, is that how this thing works? Ogbe lives with me. My door is always locked. Sometimes he goes out, they ask him, why don't this your brother come out? I saw it in the spirit. And so long as I'm in door, I have authority to guide my soul. And every time I come out, I'm a candidate of fire. I saw it in the life of Pastor Chris. I didn't read it in the book. He showed me how he lived his life as a 17-year-old boy. He showed me 25 things that the man did as a lifestyle. I've not reached a point where I can obey those things. The day I obey those things, I'll become a man of wonder. Because I saw it. The first impartation I received from a general was in the spirit. You can, through alignment, enter somewhere where you meet even people who have died. Because their anointing is still in this world. Did you read Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4? He said, in the ears of Zion, there are shields of many mighty warriors. You can, through alignment, enter a place. I saw the man of God in the spirit. And he looked at me. He said, take what I have. And as he touched me, I rode over 50 meters. And I said, thank God. Pastor, please don't impact me. I didn't know whether I was in the spirit or in the body. I began to have crazy encounters. Because I said, Lord, whatever you have me do, I will do it. It was in that place of alignment that God carried me to a mountain and I met Bishop Oedipo. And then he asked me, say, what do you want? I said, I want, teach me, I want the way of love. And then he said, you have it. People who live around me think I'm crazy. I give like a madman. I don't give what I have to spare. I give the things I value. It's not because I learned it. It was imparted to me by Bishop. When I came out of that encounter, I almost cried. I said, why didn't I ask for faith? You see, when you are in your senses, you are deficient. I said, why didn't I ask for faith? How can I meet Oyedepo and I'm asking for love? It was later that I heard him preach. And he said, men don't know him. He said, faith walketh by love. He said, he's a man of love. That was when I began to hear how Bishop Oedipo will be in church when they started. He will look at the brother. He said, the person looks hungry. He will say, tell that person to meet me after service. And they will empty all his money and say, thank you. He doesn't even know how much it is. Meanwhile, he's not going home with the hope of what to eat. Today, you see him flying a private jet. And then you are talking. I met them in the spirit. I interacted with them in the realm of reality. Before I ever went to them to impact me, I had received impartation in the spirit. Because alignment is the ground of spiritual fraternity. Many will never enter into great things because their will is strong. When you journey from the gate of mortality to immortality, there are many possibilities that you can't express. Alignment is a journey into mingleness, oneness with God. Oneness. Many people are crazy about encounters. They don't know the things that matter. Crying, they want to see angel. They want to see archangel. They want to see this person. Don't waste your time. Pursue after God. Alignment is a pursuit of God. It's a pursuit of God for who he is. Did you read John chapter 20? From verse 3 to verse 16. They ran to the tomb of Jesus. John and Peter, they came. They saw the linen cloth and they were happy. They ran away. But Mary Magdalene stayed. And people tell you, I was praying and my leg began to hurt. My hand was shaking. What does it mean? What do you mean? God is luring you into the spirit in case you want to know what it is. Did you not read where he said, he has given you great and precious promises that by them you may escape the corruption that is in the world through love, having become partakers of the divine nature. Those things are triggers to bring you into his presence. But John and Peter, they saw Linnea and they left. Mary Magdalene stayed. She stayed. And then she saw two angels. And she was not carried away because she saw angels. How many of us come to preach and say, ah, the last time Angel Gabriel showed up in my room? She stayed there. The angel said, why are you troubled? She said, where have you kept my law? Where have you kept my law? And vision was gone. Not a man that God can commit everything to their hands. And suddenly Jesus showed up. She looked at Jesus. She didn't recognize her. She's this day. Because until she meets the Jesus she knows, she's not going anywhere. And Jesus looked at her and said, me. And she said, Rabboni. That was when her hunger was satisfied. Some of us are satisfied too quick. Because the reason we cry for encounter is because we want to tell our friends that we too have seen angels. God is not our priority. Our goal was not to tell the world that she has seen angels. She said, Rabboni. That was when her lust was satisfied. Because alignment is a journey to oneness with God. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said that they might be like us, one with us, as I and thee are one. You want to conquer your world? You want to host the dimensions of God? You want to take over your territory? Oneness is the key. A God you are not one with, you can never mirror his dimension. Deceive yourself. The principalities will watch out and they will fashion a weapon that is meant for you and you alone. You do not hear, it's a no weapon fashion. It means they take the time to design a weapon that is consistent with you alone. Even if they shoot it from Hades, it will locate you because your appetite will attract it. But when God becomes your only appetite, you become invisible in the realm. Because before they get you, they will find God. That's why Paul said we are hid in Christ. He said the life we have now is the life of the Son of God. He said we are hid in Christ and Christ in God. How does that happen? He said when your affection is in the things from above. If your affection is turned on God only, a point comes when a oneness is so achieved that they can't find you. Everything they want to talk about you, they will talk about God. Did you read about Daniel? He said they looked for an occasion against him. They couldn't find any except in his law, the law between him and his God. So you can't find them. Before you hit such a man, you will first of all conquer God. That's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Because before you come to us, you must fight the one that defeated principalities and powers. They are not scriptures to quote, they are experiences of life for men who have journeyed in pursuit of God. What have you done to pursue the Lord? Many of us have terrible appetites and we deceive ourselves so much. We deceive ourselves. We think God is pleased because we are doing things in the kingdom. If we don't first of all love him, we are a waste. It's love for him that is his first priority. He said they came to him. They said, we supped with you. He said, we heard you preach on our streets. We did miracles in your name. He said, away from me, workers of iniquity. Because everything they knew about the Lord was in the flesh. They never knew him in the spirit. Because they take a price to journey into the spirit. They thought because they saw him in Galilee, they could do what he's doing. That's why Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He said, we knew Christ in the flesh, but not anymore. We must all come and pay the price of staying in the presence until his dimensions are revealed to us. And it's the dimension of God you see that you can mirror. We are not called to all do the same thing. It is who you see that you will reveal. It's dimension that you see becomes the light that you reveal to your world. That's why I said that light is the true light that lighted every man coming into the world. What dimension of light have illuminated you? If you see his law, you will reach your world through his law. If you see his faith, you will reach your world through his faith. If you see his power, you will reach your world through his power. If you see his wisdom, you will reach your world through his wisdom. All of us read the whole Bible. But go and listen to the men of God that are doing next stuff. Everything Bishop Oedipus could preach is ending faith. Because the God he saw is the God of faith. Everything they preach, everything Apostle Arume preaches ends in kingdom. The God he saw is a covenant. Who have you seen in the spirit? It means you have not traveled far enough. You have heard what men said and you are psyched. And then because you are the head of fellowship, you want to create a caricature so that people will think you are what you are not. The principalities don't see your action. They see the light you emit in the spirit. So you may deceive men, but you can't deceive spirits because they dwell in the realm of reality. Alignment is not separation from sin. Separation from sin is very important. Alignment is that place where we come and we interact with reality. In John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, Paul said the things that we heard, like every one of us, they also heard it at some point. He said those things, we have looked upon them. He said, but now our hands have handled. You will journey step by step. A lot of people hear doctrine and they run to preach it. You don't know it. I tell people all the time, it's because English language is limited, that's why we deceive ourselves most of the time. In the Greek, knowledge is called kenosko. You must know it until you become like it. You have intimacy, intercourse with it until you become a full manifestation of it, which is known. So if people are looking for that reality, they want to go to heaven. They see you, they've seen it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the man that knows Jesus. If you stay with Paul long enough, you will know Jesus. If you look at him, you will see the dimensions of Jesus. That's a man that has known Jesus. That's how realities are known in the spirit. He said the things we heard, we saw, we looked upon it, and we handled of the word of life. He said that's what we have come to commit to you. So for John, the message they preach is not something they read to preach. It's a reality they have. Present our custodians, and they are coming to commit it. So when Paul, John speaks to you, he's committing God into your hand. You read what the Bible said in 1 Timothy 2 verse 2. He said the things that you have received from me, he said the same, commit to faithful witnesses who shall be able to teach others. So they don't have God in their head. They have his reality in their spirit. And they have the capacity to give you God. So when such a man comes to preach righteousness, sin will be tamed in your life. Because he is committing to you the spirit of righteousness. When such a man comes to teach wisdom, foolishness will be exonerated from you because he came to commit to you wisdom as a substance. That's where they stand in the spirit. That's who they are. And that's why they were able to change their world. It's the journey of alignment. You travel from mortality and you begin to experience the dimensions of immortality. You come to a point where you fraternize with realities and entities in glory. That's when true authority can be committed to your hand. And the reason these things are locked in the spirit is so that they cannot lend themselves to men cheaply. Only men that sought after them can have them. How desperate do you sought after God? You pick a message here and there and you say you have become a preacher, you are a joker. But John, the Bible said he was in the wilderness. Luke 1:8, until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. He knew he needed to lay hold on something. This thing is not story we are telling. They are not storytellers. The Bible is not story we read to tell other people. They are realities that have impregnated us until they have changed our appetite. They have changed our ambitions. They have changed our proclivities. So we come as witnesses. John said when he pleased the Father, Galatians 1:13, to reveal the Son in me. So when John encountered Jesus, it was not enough. He needed to handle the reality. So the Bible said he went to the wilderness of Arabia. He stayed there for long until Christ was revealed in him. Those were the depths they went in God before they came to preach the gospel. We have babes on the altar. That's why there are confusions everywhere. People who have not handled anything, they come to talk. And they confuse innocent people. Innocent people who are seeking God genuinely. They come to tell them, doesn't matter what you do, there's forgiveness in Christ. Are you alright? Who told you it doesn't matter? Your statement would have been correct if life ends only in time. But Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, we have all men lose misery. There is life hereafter. And in that life hereafter, what you do matters. You'll be rewarded based on what you do. And the reward of some people will be gnashing of teeth. Go and read Revelation chapter 20. After hell and death and the people that sinned were cast into the lake of fire, the Bible said in the New Jerusalem, he said some were in outer darkness. Who told you there is no consequence? People who don't know truth because they've not seen it in the spirit. They read stories. They thought it was about stories. You need to pursue after God so that you can see the one who is the true light. Paul said when he was praying for the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, he said he prays that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He said that the light, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You can touch wisdom by studying, because the word is Sophia, is the ability to gather knowledge and to analyze it. You can pursue God to a level and then you enter into revelation. It's called the apocalypsis, the unveiling. But that the realm is unveiled does not mean you know. Because if there is no light in this room, everything in this room will be in place, but you will be useless here. The mic will be useless. The keyboard will be useless. The reason you can interact is because there is light. In classical physics, you see because an object emits light. It's the light the object absorbs and emits that make you see it. Because the light travels to your eye decodes it, sends it to your brain to decipher it before your brain sends response. So if there's no light, you can't see the chair. The realm can be revealed, but until the eyes of your understanding is illuminated, that one comes to people who wait. How long are you willing to wait? How long are you willing to stay until your mortality is swallowed up? Because alignment is revealing the dimensions of immortality in a mortal vessel. How long are you willing to stay? We come to fellowship, and even fellowship has become a place to fertilize demonic appetites. Because the guy likes dancing, he comes to fellowship and there's no dancing. The fellowship was useless. And then we dance the same dance steps we dance in clubs, because there is no man that comes to the spirit of holiness. The day holiness comes to that fellowship as a revelation, everything you do in the flesh will be judged. Many preachers talking Bible but have no reality because they've not seen light in the spirit. The journey of alignment is the journey of oneness with God until his full dimension becomes your reality. How deep have you traveled? It's not enough to lift your hands in the prayer, and because you are spinning and you are excited, you think you have taught something. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He even heard a voice. But when God wanted to do business with him, another voice came and said, come up here. There are places in God. And for your nation to be satisfied, there's a place you must travel to. Instructions are a different spiritual strata. That's why the day you gave your heart to Christ, you didn't need a spiritual experience. That level of faith was dealt to every man. But if you want to know whether you are a prophet, it's in the height in the spirit. So alignment brings us into stratas where we can make contact with the essence of ordination. That's why a lot of Christians are confused. They've not traveled to where the instruction of their destiny is. I was talking with my friend the day before yesterday. I told him, the instruction God wants to give you next day, you can touch it today. If only you will travel deep enough. Because the reason is in next year is because cumulatively, your spiritual energies next year will take you there. But the spirit realm is not governed by time. Watchman Nee said, if you increase the time of waiting in the presence, is there possibilities of the future can be casted into the presence? It's an intelligence in spiritual work. How long are you willing to stay? Men can't tarry. They are willing to talk. All of us are jumping, saying there's revival. Have that revival begun in your life? You are not on fire. Who can you set on fire? Are you not a joker? Said the fire on the altar must not be put out. The priest's responsibility is first of all to keep the fire burning. How much of fire do you have? Because the protocol of alignment is oftentimes truncated. The God you've not seen, you want to manifest. How will you begin it? God is not read out to people. God is not taught to people. God is committed to people. He's committed. And only custodians of reality can commit his dimension. Alignment is a journey into heights in the spirit where the whispers of our ordination can come from. If you are still here and you don't know who you are or what God has called you to do, the problem is alignment. Because the instructions of your destiny, they are in a place. Until you get there, you can't find it. A preacher cannot tell you that. Because God put it there so that when you get there, as you are knowing it, the ability to do is also imparted. Ezekiel said, I was in the 30th year. In the fourth month, in the fifth day, I was among the captives by the river Kabar. I saw visions of God. And as he spake, the spirit entered into me. When you know your ordination, the ability to fulfill is granted. That's why you cannot find ordination until you align. Because the instructions of your destiny are in the height in the spirit. And until you journey there, the ability will not be there. A prophet may come and tell you and say you are a prophet and give you your name and when you were born. But you will go about living a wasteful life. There's a place you get to where your eyes are washed with eyesight. There's a place you go to where your ears are open because you begin to interact with new sets of energy. You are a man of wisdom. You can never function by the wisdom of the divine unless by alignment you go to the womb where wisdom dwells. He said to Job, do you know where light dwells? The scriptures cannot be unveiled to you until you journey to the place where light dwells. The man that see through the scripture, they talk from a place, is a place where light dwells. That's the realm of illumination. Men of power, they journey to places. There are places in God. And the place that is consistent with your destiny is your responsibility to travel there. Unfortunately, many will never journey there. They will only be told the stories of God. And the time will come when they will discover they were deceived. What do you think they would have told John the Baptist? Imagine if John was in a church where a prosperity teacher was teaching. And say you must prosper in this life. Christianity has no value unless there's prosperity. The assignment of John, prosperity is alien to it. Because prosperity will be a distraction for John. The only way he will know is to stay in the wilderness. So no preacher could preach to John. His father was a priest. But what he needed to hear for his destiny, he needed to see the one who dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. And he said, the one that sent me, same said unto me. It was not a preacher that told him. There was no prophet in Israel for 400 years. How would the guy come and speak? He needed to have an authority that can pierce through the heart of people. So they said he was a burning and a shining light. Where did he contact that fire? Because in his destiny, fire is supposed to be part of it. Even if his father told him, you are the one to herald the Messiah, how will he get the fire? He must travel to the spirit to be set ablaze. He showed up. They said, why are you baptizing? He said, the one that sent me said, upon whomever the spirit descend and rest, he is the Messiah. So for him, baptism was a strategy. Who taught him so much wisdom? He journeyed into the womb of life. Where are you standing? Elijah said, before God, whom I stand. So he's not a prophet because he was born a prophet. He's a prophet because there's a place he stood in the spirit. And if Elijah can only stand there, when he speaks, heaven will back him up. If only Elijah would stand there, he can know the mind of God. Moses ran to him and said, why do you cry? Go forward. How can a man hear God in such a split second? Over 3 million people are hurling insult at you, and you throw your face, and instantly you begin to commune with the God of life. Is it God that is so easy to talk to? What has happened to the man? He dwelt in the wilderness for 40 years until he came to Horeb. God himself taught him how the wisdoms that open the veils of the divine are activated. So in the midst of 3 million people insulting him, he can still access the voice of God. And he says, stretch forth thy rod. It was not written in any book. How did he know that stretching the rod can part the Red Sea? It is by alignment. Where are you standing? Demons can come into your house and enslave people when you are there. It's a shame. You are telling God, come. Why did God plant you there? You are there because you are the representative of God. God is already come because you are there. But what price are you willing to pay to be able to give expression to the dimensions of God? You are the one who is the plague of the family. Because by ordination you are the priest over your family. But you don't want to take responsibility. We live for our appetites. We live for our proclivities and our tendencies. And we think we can change the world like that. It's a deception from darkness. Alignment is your ability to journey to the place where the instructions of your destiny can be handed out to you. Many have not found it. If you are a pastor and you talk to preachers, you will know what I'm talking about. Over 90% of believers don't know what they are born to do. The moment they sense that God walks through you, then everyone, Lord God, man of God, what does God want me to do? Who told you? It's a man of God that told me my own. The people you are talking to, who told you is the man of God that told them? Have you ever heard anybody who say, a man of God told me that God called me? You will hear them tell you, say, God told me. God told me. The prophet who said, the word of the Lord came to me. That's how men are, their destinies of men are revealed to men. The destinies of men are not given to others to give to them. God gives it to them. He said he called them to be with him so that he may send them. If you are not with him, you can't know why you are called. Alignment is turning to where the instructions of your destiny are. That's when you can change your world. Many people, I pity a lot of people. When you are 28, do cancer. You can bab your head and go prison. A day will come when there will be no hair to pick. That's when you realize you have wasted your life. That's why our fathers, the moment they retire, they die. Because they never found the meaning of life. When they sit down, they discover they were enslaved for 35 years. So that time, the void of destiny becomes so large. So they sit and they look back. There is nothing in their life that counts. Only regrets. So 3 years after retirement, they die. They didn't live. Men of purpose don't retire. Because purpose is life. They found it in the spirit. They will carry Ken Hag into meetings. They will be holding him like this. As his laughing, the bulb will explode. Even when he couldn't carry himself, he emitted power. Power that even electricity will respond to. People were carrying him. But when he laughs, a whole congregation will begin to laugh. He set them drunk in the spirit. He found his identity. That's why these men of old, they live like colossus. Jacob want to die. He said, gather up me, you sons of Israel. Come around, I will tell you the things that will befall you. How do men speak like that? Isaac will tell Jacob, he said, I bless you with corn and wine. What happens to the law of inflation? How about unemployment? It doesn't matter. That man has journeyed into alignment and he knows he's a patriarch. If only he speaks, God will respond. He said, I will bless you with corn. That guy can never lack. Because a man of alignment is talking. And when he talks, heaven backs him up. Gather around me, you sons of Israel. He said, Reuben, you are the beginning of my strength. You have an excellent wisdom. He said, but as unstable as water, you will not prosper. It doesn't matter if Reuben has a doctorate degree. The word that the man has spoken will bound him forever. As unstable, you will never prosper. That's an alignment man talking. When he speaks, the mind of the Father can be trafficked through him. When he stands, it's the government of Zion that is standing. That's how men live their lives in the days of old and they counted. The right of the firstborn, he gave it to Judah. He says, so long as we live, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. God in heaven respected it. Leadership was the right of the first son, but the prince, he handed it over to Judah. How did he get there? By alignment. Because the angel wrestled with him until his tendencies were broken. He wrestled with him overnight until his ambitions were broken. He said, he touched his thigh bone. And from that day when he leaned on his staff, he said, as a prince, thou hast power with God and have prevailed. The day you yield is the day you prevail against God. Because that day, you can become a witness on earth. Many people think what we do is preaching to educate people. We are witnesses. Beyond what we say, spirit enters. And that's why God deals with men before he sends them out. God doesn't throw men on the pulpit. Only babes jump on the pulpit. Every time you come on the pulpit, you know it's a body. Because you must first of all find the mind of the Father. That's when what you are doing will strike a chord in eternity. Else, in the radars of Zion, you will not appear. You'll be shouting like a clown. But you will not appear in the radars of Zion. Alignment is the heaviest molecule of our walk with God. And we must do everything it takes in order to be one with God. We must do everything it takes in order to live our natural abilities and take advantage of the abilities of God. For Jesus, he was the Word. The Bible said at the age of 12, he grew in wisdom, in knowledge, and in stature before God and before man. So at the age of 12, Jesus was qualified to preach. He asked the doctors of the law, so they couldn't answer. He was the one that answered them. But he knew that preaching is not about knowledge of the head. Preaching for him is a witness. So he waited on God until the day of his announcement. What are you doing? The bodies the Lord put in your heart. What are you doing with them? Every day you come to church, you jot, you have written all the doctrine. You have read 1,000 books. What is your life speaking? Until you begin to yield to the Holy Ghost to carry you to that place where you can become one with the Father, your life will not count. Life begins to count when men are able to mirror the dimensions of God. Life begins to count when men become one with the Father. Else, we will live for the things of the flesh, and we will be beings of our appetites. I came this evening to challenge your conviction. I came this evening to scream as a herald so that somebody will hear. Because the things that matter about your life, they are the transactions that are carried out in the secret place. What you do in the public is an overflow of the realities in the secret. If everything about your life becomes what is happening in the stage, then you are shallow. Every wind can throw you off. Alignment is a journey to the womb of life. But many have not traveled. How deep have you traveled, brother? I know you are a fellowship president, but how deep have you traveled? Before we begin to talk deep matters, where are you standing? Or are you talking what somebody has heard? What have you heard from the mouth of God? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. What have you heard from the mouth of God? That's why your destiny is strange to you. That's why you don't know where you are going. That's why you don't know tomorrow. But when you interact with God, something happens to you. You become like Him. You begin to see from His plane. He told Abraham, lift up your eyes. He said, whatever you see, as far as your eyes can see, I have given to you. Why do you think Abraham will be bold enough to tell the king of Sodom? He said, I will not take a latchet from you. Because he knows he's the possessor of heaven and earth. Even the thing the king of Sodom has belongs to him. I will not take a latchet from you, lest you say you made Abraham rich. Because the God of heaven has told him, he says, as far as your eyes can see, Sodom was included. But some men pursue after things, like Lot that saw the sides of Jordan, and it was full with green vegetation. He didn't know that some years before, fire will alight in Sodom and Gomorrah. Alignment is the direction to go in life. Alignment is that point where you submit your will to the will of the Father. Alignment is that point where you decide to put away your natural advantage and receive the set of advantages that you have in the Spirit. That's when your life will begin to count. Alignment is your ability to stand in the presence of God. Alignment is not doctrine. Alignment is life. Doctrine is important because it is within the boundary of doctrine that our heritage is preserved. But if we stop there, we will only be theologians and lecturers. Can we bow our heads and pray? I was giving a rigid instruction about time. I want us to pray a bit. That's why I'm stopping now. If tonight, I discovered it's just a charge I can give. Just a charge. That's why I couldn't look through my script. It's just a charge. You can sit down, but we'll pray. We'll pray in the next 10 minutes. And I will release some bodies. Tonight I came to show you where God expects you to stand. I came to show you something tonight, that life is beyond talking. I came to show you that there is a spirit expectation of you. God has an expectation. It's not every day we come and then there is fire everywhere, people are shouting. Sometimes we need to check our convictions. Sometimes we need to probe and find out where we are really standing. Go ahead and speak in tongues. As you speak in tongues tonight, pray intelligently. You know the area of your disobedience. You know the area of your disalignment. Ask the Lord to show you help. Ask for help. Ask for help.
Zizo prote e kote ina kluche ba. Aile katondra aki sobrate. Inai kanta kemote. Eti rush aito glahanake. Esto prekite. Ida obra ako panike. Ezida sunete endo. E paraiko ta ile ke pasiza. Ilaite kalaito. Ariene matonge. Ilaika barina dozina maraita. Ilibra ite klekita uneba obre ene klora katone e suprete te lo prehida waria tokaba raita embe tone kapalina kailo ia to parati na kusisi e sinre ia ta hoba pate kabo endro eti menate hida glani errado sisi menate ia dora tapante tale e kapata kone kaparita uleta aila I don't me la kamane, manakre brani glida sun rahida, ia papa boundra ye totone teila ho, ia pataila kaparaita, abraina taile kone de menate, e paratane dobraile kaparaila, ia to, e faida none talaba, e store teile teile, e te raite na hane, ia papa ruate ia, e patuanda tole tia kapate, I'm in a tacapana cope Natalia, the Antocle Bratia Taliata, the Sopretete, the Licabarato Diata, Obroton de Tecataya, the Abatuana Diatua, the Labratuan de Teminata, the Bacabata Teliata, the Bacanata di Nemata, the Opateta Pate, Opatrato Brati, Opranantole, the Lacopaco Sese, the Tato Pateta, Parique Patoa. Ebraina tala kumena tailo, wobra ita tahala tahala, wada gayo tailo paile wada, ya dombre yan tala gambra haka gwade, epa patwa doura da, ye da bada ya tabahua, epe de tata tata mua, epa twa 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 radidi, eya hatalia, wampa te gantaliata, mege de bada tiga, e sopra itata, ila bantuate, ke twa twate, e surprete, e laitua,
in the name of Jesus. Tonight, don't pray because you have learned the art of prayer. Make commitment through prayer tonight. Tell the Lord, I submit my will to you today. Whatever pleases you to do with me, go ahead, do it. My life is yours. Take it. Come on, make that a prayer tonight.
Shabbati, empati na kuba, parila sudiata, epaile kaitone, isiprete na kuba, apante nae kapanaina, elabrante kabuzizi, yite parute kapana toglinato, empradi anda plato mengaziza, aido makate legiro chakanine, yambalike, esho pate lato bane karaita, Kabaruata ila kabana tabone, eso blotuate kato, ianto prianta, ilampatuante kanto, eso bleta tuante, ipatuante dinatanta, eleke betinatoria, epenatatoliete kabarayata, eze ila huata, aila panande kofote, ize zenite, patone klatote, ebra ila korahate, obaratane barua, ianto Brahina Taho, Ezibana Dele Quato Tia, Oparatata Hilakapa, Abanata, Nekwate Tele Kebara Kapatena, Elzelite, Rato Pena, Exitato, Ekapandia, Ito Padiata, Paratate Salia, Ilaisus de Hande, Omen Agli Ekla Hatua, Yatatua Zidi Hatua. Zidi Zaratia, Yadaziri Ratonesia, Seblenatra, Ratope Egle Henani, Esili Lila de Dailo, Ayata Patra, Amatapele, Kamane Tele Tela.
Minister to tonight are the people that I call custodians. These ones, the Lord have brought them wisdoms and revelations, but they are locked in their spirits. So they know that they are aware, but they can't express it. It's as if it's there, but it's locked. God wants to accelerate their growth process, so that they will come to a point where they have the ability to release those revelations and those sounds, because your territory needs it now. In order to bring the territory to a place of resonance where dimensions can begin to flow. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's time to receive now. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, we are the custodians. Touch them. I activate you now. I can see a lady in yellow in the spirit, a lady wearing a yellow top in the spirit. The Lord is about to activate a prophetic sound from this lady. I see a yellow color in the spirit. Holy Spirit, where are the custodians? I release fire from the left to the right, from the front to the back. Holy Ghost.
touch them. Shabata. Jelibarana to us. Kambra sateteria tanas. If you are sitting close to somebody at the park, God is touching the person, just help the person so that they are not injured. There is a fire coming to this building now. Velete, Maria Natata, Mante, Verento, Sabrina Tat. Where are the custodians? The custodians. I activate a sickness in your spirit. I activate a gift in your spirit. I activate the dimensions of God in your spirit. Take, 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 take. Ay, 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 ay. Baratapaponas. Elele tete. Sombra tate tete. We are going to higher spheres. Where are the custodians? I release power to unlock you. To unlock you. I release power. I release power. That's what them, let them come down where they are. I don't need to bring that power. Listen, listen. There's a second measure coming. I said they are custodians. They are people that carry sounds in their womb. Prophetic sounds. Some of them are carrying utterances of power. It's locked there. And I stir the fountains of the deep. I stir the fountains of the deep. I stayed. I stayed. Let the river flow. Hey, hey, hey. Tarapatanata. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Angels are still ministering to them. But you don't be distracted. Just stay focused. The second set of people, the hand of God will be touching now. These ones are leaders. They are in the altar of what the Bible calls the sons of Isaac. They understand patterns. They understand seasons. They understand timings. These ones are prophetic intercessors. You will not just pray, but you will see it. You will see the body. You will see the body. And right now, in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, I activate prophetic intercessors. Prophetic intercessors. Hey! I activate prophetic intercessors. I activate them. Help the brother. I activate prophetic intercessors. Prophetic intercessors. Prophetic intercessors. Prophetic intercessors. Manda paretetes. Rianata. Latarida separeto. Perido, perido. Perido, perido. Sedene talita. Hey, hey, hey. I Koba. Hey! Jesus. Listen. A very violent wind is about to enter here now. And these are the last set of people that the Lord wants to activate. Listen. Listen. These ones, they are carriers of ancient mantles. Listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. I felt it when I entered this territory. There were many covenants that fathers in this land entered, but there are no men to bear them. And God wants to raise a new set of people. And as I hear in the spirit, He said a new set of people who will touch prophetic foundations that fathers have labored for. I come in the witness of one that has joined the lineage of fathers. So that the ones that we herald, the revival on this campus, will be raised. And so Holy Spirit, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Touch. 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 Eleketora. Rianata. Ope. Zutatatari. Aketororabamatata.
A new order, a new hunger, a new desire.
heard in the spirit. I just heard a voice in the spirit. And this is what I heard. Somebody has a promise from the Lord that a gift of utterance was coming to him in the first quarter between March and April. But the person can't find it manifest yet. And there are two sets of people who are taking a fast for an activation of the supernatural. If you are these two categories, come quickly. It's not you, but you can come. I see a set of people who are on the fast. They say they want an activation of the supernatural. And then I see somebody, God said, you are receiving the gift of utterance. Utterance, utterance. You expected it from the month of April, but it has not come. Who is the man of utterance? Utterance. Utterance. God promised you utterance. Just lift your hands toward heaven.
Holy Spirit,
Activation is about to begin. Angels will begin to walk among you now. Some of you, for the first time, you have an angelic encounter. I activate the realm. Let the procession begin. Everyone whose hand is lifted, Holy Spirit, touch now. A fresh baptism of fire. Touch, touch, touch. Lord, where are the healers? Let their hands be set on fire. Where are the missionaries? Let their feet be set on fire. Where are the men you are bringing to the glory realm? Realms of encounter. Begin to receive. Begin to receive. Touch. 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 Holy Spirit. Touch. 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 Activations. 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 Meleketor. Meleketor, 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 Barreto, 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 Zelito, Bariana Tars, activations. Let hands be bound. The hands, the healers, let hands begin to bound. I set you on fire. I set you on fire. Touch, 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 touch. Touch, touch. Somebody in the congregation is receiving a mantle. I sense an energy. Enter the congregation. I sense an energy. Touch. Fresh. 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 Somebody just received in the congregation. Like fire, like the rain. Let your glory fall like fire,
like rain, let it fall.
Fresh fire, fresh fire,
fresh fire,
fresh fire, fresh fire.
Oh,
the Lord sends you to the
nation.
The Lord sends you to the nation. The Lord sent you to the
nation. I put on
tongues on your word. Fresh. Fresh. The Lord places authority on you now. Place for leadership, wisdom, and counsel. He flows like a river. Somebody is about to receive an evangelical fire. A fire. A fire that will take you to the nations. You can't hold the person. It's a fire from heaven. It's a fire. Help the sister. It's a fire. The energy has not left me. Where's the evangelist? Receive the comment. A fire. A fire. Mante se porida. A fire. Tonight is not a night of power. For
we have to make fresh commitments to the Lord. You want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. You have been motivated by your desires, motivated by other ambitions. But today you want to say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. As it pleases you, so will I. Place your hands on your chest. Today I'm more interested in the business of souls. You want to become a battle axe in the hand of God. You have attended many great meetings. You have seen power. You have seen all kinds of things. But is it not enough that every meeting you come for, you want to see power, but there's no transformation? You want to commit your heart, your life, your soul, your body to the Lord. But you have not given your life to God. It's a different thing to receive the life of God and to give your life to God. When you got born again, you receive the life of God. But when you want to serve the Lord, you give your life to Him so that He can have the right of way. He can regulate what you eat, when you sleep, who you make friends with, even the job, who you marry,
He will have authority. That's what you are making. That's the commitment. Say, Lord, I commit my life to you today as a token. You have to say it to me. I commit my life to you today as a token. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. You see, the Holy Ghost will begin to show you areas of disobedience. Even now, as the Holy Ghost reveals to you, repent. Repent. Tell him to help you. That's what you submit. That's submission. The Holy Ghost will be showing you the times when you committed malpractice, the times you lied, the times you rejected the government of the Holy Ghost. He'll show you now. Repent, repent. So that he can have authority over you. I give. Submit it on the table. Drop it on the altar. Some of us is weakness. Drop it on the altar. Thank you, Father. And so, dear Lord Jesus, you said, no man that cometh to you will you in any wise cast away. These ones have come to cleave to the horns of the altar. And so right now, I ask for a freshness of your spirit. As I stretch my hands towards them, let there be a release of life now. A release of life. A release of life. To swallow up your areas of weaknesses. Receive life. Receive life. The breath of the Holy Ghost. The breath of the Holy Ghost. The breath. Some of you are going to receive a fresh baptism now. If you find yourself praying in the Spirit, you'll find yourself prophesying. It's a new life. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. I activate the supernatural dimension that was locked up in your bowels. I activate it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do we have an arrangement for this week? You have an arrangement for them. How do we fulfill it? Those of you that have made this commitment, please do as much as you can. Go to the back. For those that are crying, the Lord is working on, don't bother. When they come, they will join us. Or just walk straight through this eye to the back. Give your name. I will pray on those names. We will bring those names to the altar tomorrow. Pray on those names and they will become covenants before the Lord. Hallelujah. So just file to the back and write your name. Tomorrow will be a power service. I will come tomorrow as a revivalist. To keep it calm, just to show us a few things. Tomorrow will be a revival meeting, and tomorrow I'll be doing impartation of the Spirit so that many of you can walk in dimensions that you only heard about. Make it a day, be here tomorrow early. If you can fast and pray before you come. Come light. Come light so that you can receive. Don't come heavy tomorrow. Come light. And the Lord Jesus will be doing us good. God bless you.